Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good seeing everybody this morning. Walk around a second, shake somebody's hand, give them a hug. Just tell them it's good to see them in God's house this morning.
Yeah. back your day, you can turn these in to me or Wendy. Tomorrow, vacation Bible school. Who knows what time it is? 9 to 12. Except for if you're a teacher, a volunteer, or a helper, need to be in this building tomorrow at 8:30 because the most important part of this vacation Bible school is covering in your prayer. We start that way tomorrow at 8:30 tomorrow morning. Then we feed the kids lunch at 12 o'clock, and then we all go home and die till the next day. So y'all be ready, be praying, and keep us in mind if you're not able to be here. Yeah, and Friday is the water day. Y'all get a newsletter every day, come and help parents for that, and we will have our water day as normal. Not as normal because it's going to be better than ever.
There's already a lot of decorations up. I know they're staying today to finish decorating the sanctuary and other things. So if you'd like to stay and help commission them get that done, I'm sure she would appreciate any help as well. All right, the only other thing I'm going to present this morning as far as announcements, I know it seems early. However, Fall Fest is just around the corner again, and therefore we need to start gathering up the candies if we're going to make our Fall Fest a success as it's always been. So I'm not going to harp on it heavily right now. It's time we start looking for those sales on candy and start bringing it in. Is that what you say something? Pardon me? Just say that. Oh, that's easy. Okay. Actually, on the back table back there is a sign-up sheet if you are interested in the Mercy Hearts program that Sherry Kay is putting together and is heading up for us. If you'd like to get more information as to what Mercy Hearts is, things of that nature, get to Sherry, but sign up on the back table as well. Okay, I think that's all the announcements. Daryl, you want to come on up and do the scripture reading this morning?
Oh, Daryl. Lots of work, patients come and commitment. To be effective trainers, we must be well trained ourselves. We must keep learning and improving. We have to keep studying the word too, guys. The more we study it, the better we get at it, the better we can teach it. Then we have to live the answers that we give them. If you want to communicate the Bible's absolute authority and the infinite value, the best things you can do is to make it a way of life. Absolutely. So my scripture was actually, I forgot to tell you, but it's Proverbs 22:6. 22:6, and I think, in my opinion, this could also be one of the most important scriptures in the world. Direct your kids into the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. I think the scripture says they direct your kids, your teenagers, your young adults. Our God, as parents teaching kids Christ, and bravely for the Lord, never ends. It can be 34 years old, we still have it to you. Lord, thank you for providing us a place to come and hear your word. Be with Frank this morning as he brings your word to us, and may you speak through him to our ears. Continue to pray for all next week for the kids who are coming. Pray for the teachers. Pray for anybody that has anything to do with it. People fixing the food, everything, Lord. And just get them all here safely. Take them home. Send them home with the blood of Christ in their hearts. Amen.
Amen. Normally the praise team would be coming back up here, as you know well, but we're in for a special blessing today. It does my heart good, just kind of like what Brother Darrell was just sharing with you guys. Does my heart good just like watching those missionaries week before last, all those youth that were here working. Does my heart good? And I see young people sacrificing their time, putting together things that bless other people. And I see young people choosing to follow Christ and act in a Christ-like fashion rather than a self-centered, all about me, it's all my stuff, everybody has to come around me and make the world circle around me. And I see young people, Christians, truly living out their faith. I praise God for that. Amen? Well, we are blessed this morning. There's a young lady from the Floresville area, from our area, who has chosen to sing and use the talents God has given her to glorify Jesus Christ. And she's going to come and sing for us a couple of songs this morning. So come on up, y'all. This is Jenna Faith. And she's going to sing with us this morning. And Jenna, I'm going to pray with you. Didn't it? Chris, I'm doing this back here. Father God, I just pray for Jenna right now that you just give her the peace of knowing that her heart is singing out unto you. That we in this crowd are just listening to you through her today. And may it speak sweet singing to you. Bless her willingness and obedience to follow you. Bless her family for bringing and coming with her today. And we just give you praise, honor, and glory for in Jesus' name.
Hi.
Hi.
I love hearing that. it's such an honor and privilege to be standing in front of you all today to speak and to sing in front of such amazing people, in front of survivors, heroes, and awesome, awesome men and women of God. I wanted to be here a while back. But while I'm telling my story, I will hear that this was all in God's time. I'm going to start by telling you a little bit about myself and this journey that God has taken me on. I am 16. I'm a junior in high school, and I live in Floresville. I started singing when I was 3, and I started music ministry when I was 7. And in October of 2017, I entered this competition, Inspirational Country Music Association Talent Showdown, and and I walked away with the title of California Regional Winner.
And
Those of you may know that that song is by Rascal Flatts, and some of y'all may notice that in the last chorus, I decided to change all the I's to he's, and I wanted to make that very well known. Shine On is such a blessing to me, and it has humbled me as a person. It is a gift. Some things, you know, God says that I hear all the time, that God will show you that he loves you and he will show you blessings in mysterious ways. Well, Shine On was one of those things. First of all, with this song, I didn't want it to get lost in the haze of the grieving because this song has such an important message. And secondly, I didn't want this to be misinterpreted as an opportunity for publicity. I can confidently say that this song for the month of July has climbed to number 3 on the Christian country charts. Thank you. And this song is perfect because it goes out to the community when they all came together to help those in need. And our heroes like Johnny and Stephen Williford that came together and many more to help those in need. It was amazing, so amazing. My friend Joyce Emily, she told me that she would take 2 CDs, one to Pastor Frank and one to Stephen Wilford. It wasn't but a week later I came to y'all's groundbreaking and I had the opportunity to talk to Pastor Frank where he invited me to come see at y'all's church. And then in May, the following month, Stephen Wilford found my song, heard it, and he contacted me. And I know this was the perfect confirmation for me to come share this song in God's timing to the people that inspired me, this faith-based church. So I want to leave y'all with this song, and I would like you to receive it. Thank you so much.
blessed. Amen. God is good. And the great thing is, guys, you can take some of that home with you in the foyer out there, not in the sanctuary, but in the foyer. She has a table set up with some of her CDs and such. She didn't do it for that purpose, but as she is an aspiring musician wanting to make it to praise God and get out there and share the gospel with the gift that God has given her, if God has laid it on your heart to help support that ministry, please do so. But the great thing I know is if you just want to come and give her a hug and let her know you're praying for her, she appreciates your prayers as well. So I want you to encourage to lift her up in prayer, encourage that her family. As she said, she's only 16, and God's already working this through her. Just imagine as she continues to grow, the continued amount of people God's going to touch through her music. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Give God the glory one more time. Amen. Yeah, and in reality, I believe that song actually is a great segue right into the message that God's laid on my heart this morning, because we are to shine on. And how are we to do that? What are we to do that? And when are we to do that? That would be somewhat of the encapsulation of the message this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 10. Now, I understand that may not be a book that you read rapidly or repetitively, but there is a table of contents. It's allowed to use it, I promise. But in Hosea chapter 10 is where we're going to be this morning. Now, as I said earlier, I appreciate your prayers for this past week. It's been a great week. I picked up a lot this week at the Beth Moore Conference. One of the things is, guys, the ladies have been holding out on us. She is an incredible speaker. Her messages were on point. Her pastor was there leading men's studies as well and preaching in the mornings. Between her and her pastor, there was an incredible amount of godliness, of God's word being brought on that boat this past week. It was an incredible week. It was powerful. One of the things, you know, the pastor asked me late Thursday night, he said, "Well, brother, we've been on this boat all week. Are you any better ready for Sunday than I am?" I said, "Well, Pastor, I'm not sure, because I keep on trying to think about it, and then y'all preach something else." But you know, one of the messages that Beth brought to the table, to the floor one day, there was something within one of those messages that she pointed out about time. And even though that wasn't the gist of her message, that one little portion of her message that day grabbed my attention, because I have spoken, I've thought, and I've read, you know, you can sit and philosophize, talk philosophy, whatever the word is, about time. But the way she presented it was intriguing to me, and she mentioned how time, we tend to look at time as it's going. We're proceeding through time, when in reality, that's not true. Time is coming. There is a time coming for Jesus' return. There is a time coming for Satan to be vanquished. There is a time coming that death will be destroyed. The time is coming, is what she pointed out in that one section that just grabbed my attention. When God created in the book of Genesis, it says he created time. In other words, that first click, that first second ever ticked, God created. However, at the same time, it says he created time means he also, at that point in time, at that moment, created the last click in time. Time is already done. It's already designated. Time is coming to us. When we say that someone's going to be with the Lord, in reality, it's not that he's going to there. The time has come for him to stand in the presence of the Lord. The time has come for him spiritually to step in that position. Because our bodies tend to grow old and feeble and weaken out, and we look at this progression, we liken time to our bodies. But in reality, it's not about these mortal bodies. These mortal bodies do grow old. That's absolutely for sure. But in the presence of these mortal bodies growing old, our spiritual body should be growing and strengthening, so that when you are in that position, when there comes that time, your spiritual body is where it's supposed to be. Spiritually, we are growing. Spiritually, we're coming into the presence so that we can come into his presence, shining and into his Shekinah glory, and we can say that this was the time that has come for me to step into that presence. Now, what does that mean? This is where I took away that night, as that her message went a totally different direction. But what I walked away that night was, I was laying in bed later that night. This was rolling around in my head. What exactly does it mean about that time is coming? And that was the question that just kept bouncing around. And as I thought about it, God brought to mind the sermon this morning, that when our time has come, whether it be the end moment of this mortal body, or whether our time has come to witness to our neighbor, whether our time has come to mow the yard, whether our time has come to volunteer at church or to sing a song, whatever it is, when our time has come, fill in the blank, we need to be obedient and do what that time calls for. Because when that time has come, God has ordained that. He said the time has come for you to fill in the blank. It has come time for you to speak. That's when you should speak. When God says it's time to step out, that's when you should step out. When we quit arguing about time, when we quit arguing with God and do things when He tells us, because that's, if we have a better understanding, the time has come for me to make this decision, you won't keep postponing it. You'll make that decision. You'll choose to do what God tells you to do. Paul says there comes a time to put away childish things. However, I'm afraid that many of us as adults continue to act childishly, when the time has come for us to step out and grow up and do what it is that He calls us to do. Whatever it is time to do, do it. Which brings us to our verse today in Hosea. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. It says, sow righteousness for yourselves and reap faithful love. Break up your untilled ground. It is time to seek the Lord until He comes and sends righteousness on you like rain. It is time to seek the Lord. Guys, just as prevalent as it was in that day, it is just as much so today. It has come time for us to truly, not just with our mouths, but it is time to truly to come and seek the Lord. And when we truly are seeking the Lord, that's when we will shine. That's when He will shine on through us. We'll be that lantern with Him as the flame inside that is shining out to a world. Hosea says it is time to seek the Lord. Now, let me break this down a little bit for us in our modern time, in our modern vernacular, by first of all explaining some of the historical reference of what Hosea was saying here. After the kingdom of Solomon, in 922, the kingdom of Israel was divided. King Jeroboam revolted against the Davidic monarchy, revolted against the kingdom of Israel and Judah. It revolted and won this line, and so you then therefore had the northern kingdoms. And then you had the southern kingdom, which had Jerusalem as its capital and Rehoboam as its king. So you had the southern kingdom that held to the Davidic line, that held to the Davidic beliefs of who God was. And then you had the northern kingdoms. Well, Jeroboam, being that bad king, being the evil king, said, you know, I've won this battle. I've drawn this line. We have the northern kingdoms of Israel. But I find it necessary. I'm going to have to do something about the religious situation here, because everyone knew that the only place to truly worship God at the time was in Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is down there in the southern kingdoms. It's like today, the only way to Christ, to heaven, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is only one way, and that is through the sacrificial blood of Christ that we can come into the kingdom of God. At that time, they knew there was only one way to truly worship Jehovah. Therefore, we're going to go on these pilgrimages and we're going to go down to southern kingdoms. Well, to keep the allegiance, if you will, to make sure that everybody stayed allegiant, kept their allegiance to the northern kingdoms, Jeroboam said, I'm just going to go ahead and create two more temples. And there he did. He made two cities temples, and then he put golden calves in each one of those temples for people to worship. And one of those cities was called Bethel, the house of God. So think about this. In the northern kingdom under Jeroboam, there was a place called the house of God that had a golden calf at the front to worship. And this is what the northern kingdoms of Israel were going to, these two cities. They were going and worshiping these northern cities, they were going and worshiping these calves that were set up as idols. Well, Hosea saw this, and God spoke to Hosea. And as a result, in what was going on there, in the opening verses of chapter 10, Hosea says that Israel's heart was divided. Israel's heart was divided, that she had become faithless and she had become deceitful. Even though she was acting like she was worshiping, it was not worshiping the God in the way that they should. And Hosea said that there was impending judgment coming because of the displeasure of God over a divided heart, over this split heart. And in verse 12 here, Hosea is speaking to them and to us that it has come time to seek Jehovah. You've done all these different things, but I'm telling you, Hosea says, you better get your act straight. It is time to come back and seek God, that He might hear your prayer, that He might hear your sincerity, that He might see evidence of your sincerity, so He can pour out righteous blessings upon you rather than the judgment that's coming. Folks, that message still pertains to you and I today. Just like I believe that God was speaking to them, He's speaking to us, and He's saying the time has come. It's time to seek the Lord. Amen. This is the message that was rolling around in my head and still rolling around this morning. Folks, you say, well, I come to church. Well, we're going to talk about that just a minute. Because Isaiah 55:6, when he's speaking, he says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. You know what that's saying? That when, as long as we continually have a divided heart or faithlessness, or as long as we are inconsistent, we're moving ourselves further and further from God. And Isaiah said, you better stop. You better think just a minute. You need to seek Him now while He is near. In other words, we should be seeking Him continuously. We should seek and keep Him right there. Seeking the Lord is to set God as the supreme authority over everything in our lives, guys. He should be the object of everything in our lives. Everything that we aspire to do, we should stop and pray about it. I wish I could tell you I've always been that person. No, I haven't. Deuteronomy chapter 4:29, and you can write these verses down since I didn't give them to Morgan to put up there, but it says, seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him, and you will seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Seek the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul, He says, and you will find Him. That's how we are supposed to live. When it says it has come time to seek the Lord, we should do so with everything. I believe that we should seek the Lord with all that we are. And it's not a matter of priorities. This is another thing God kind of chastened me a bit. I'm sure you've probably heard me say it, and I'm sure I've even preached it at some time or another, that we should make God our number one priority. Guys, I recant on that. As I was praying about it and thinking about it, that I don't think we need to just put Christ first in our priority list. I think what God spoke to me is we need to become so totally absorbed with Christ through a conscious yielding to His Holy Spirit. It's not that we put Him first. He's in everything. He's absolutely in everything that I choose to be. He is in absolutely everything I decide to do. I'm going to be so absorbed with Christ that anything less than a conscious commitment to Christ is an unconscious commitment to the things of this world. We have to stop and say, it's not about putting you first, Christ. It's about putting you in everything. That's what it means to seek the Lord. In Psalms 27, verse 1, the psalmist is singing. He says, I have desired of you, O Lord, that I will seek you so that I may dwell in your house for all of my days. You hear what that says? That all of my days I seek to dwell in the house of the Lord. Not just on Sunday and Wednesday. Not just on this day or that day. Not for a 30%, 50%, even 70%. The psalmist was saying, I seek to dwell in your house all of my days. That means that God and His house, His Word, permeates every part of our being. The question we need to stop and ask ourselves this morning is, where are we in that? Where are we in that question, if you will? Because Hosea said, you are divided. Your heart is divided. Your heart is split, O Israel. You have half of you wanting to worship a cow, and the other half's wanting to worship God, and the one that's worshiping God's thinking about going over there and worshiping the cow, and you need to get your stuff straight. The time has come to seek the Lord. So the question we need to seek out is, what is a divided heart? Am I that person? Because the first thing that I think of when I ask myself, when we test ourselves, do I have that divided spirit? Do I have that divided heart? What it means to have that divided heart? The thing that I'm kind of preaching to you this morning how a sermon formulates in my mind. I start with a question and it starts tangling together and I start chasing tangents and things of this nature. But the question that came to my mind is, first of all, do you have a divided heart? Well, what's it mean to have a divided heart, Lord? And the first thought that come to my mind that I see that I am guilty of so many times and have been guilty of is formalities. We go to church. We go to church regularly. But our hearts aren't concerned about really interested in growing in the church. We go to church because we're supposed to. I'll go to a church event. I'll go to a singing somewhere. I'll do this because that's what I was supposed to do. It came up in Sunday school. What if we humor somebody, our mom or someone, and we go to their Catholic church, though we don't believe in some of the doctrines of that church? When we step into God's house, if we are so totally permeated with God that all things are glorifying Him, it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to find God in there somewhere. But if we are going just for the formality, if we're going just to show that we are there, I'm not saying other people. If you're going just so you can tell God, see, I went to your house. I should hear an amen here because we do that so many times. We go to church because that's what I do on Sunday morning, so God will punch my card. What happens, guys, is we get comfortable and we get to where we're not really interested in putting aside some of our interests so that God can have more of our time. We're not interested in sacrificing any of our things. We just want to mix it all in there with God. And yeah, I'll make God number one priority there, but I'm not giving these things up. And what happens is your heart becomes divided and you start choosing these things while you're sitting in a pew to think about rather than the Word of God to think about. Formalities. If we are running on formality, if we are going upon the things that we think we're just supposed to do, and I've been guilty of this, guys, I would say that it's showing division in our heart. And if you're honest with yourself this morning, I bet every one of us has been guilty at some time or another. The question is whether or not you're there now, and if you are, what are you going to do about it? Hosea looked out and he said, your heart is divided. And part of it's this formalities. You think you have to have somewheres to go worship, so you'll just make a place. No, you can't remake God. If you're truly going to worship, you put your focus, you put your face, you put all that you are on Christ, and then He will shine on through you. Amen. He will move through you. Another one that I've been guilty of that I think shows a division in our heart is inconsistency. We will go to church on Sunday and we're vital and we're vigorous and praising God. But come Monday, nobody knows you're a Christian unless they come and ask you. Come Wednesday, Thursday, when the week's going rough, didn't you say you went to church last week or something like that? We're inconsistent with our faith. Another thing is there's no fruit. We're fruitless. We have no evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. All these things, guys, point and should show us, hey, my heart's divided. I haven't given God 100% of who I am. I haven't given God every bit of what I am. There's a division in my heart. And guys, when that heart is divided, you may say, well, I'm not half and half. I'm just 80-20. When there's a division in your heart, I would say that we need to listen to what Hosea said. The time has come to seek the Lord. Amen. Now, we sometimes say that a person who has one aim in life, one goal in life, one motivating factor in their life, that they are a fanatic. And well, in one sense, that's probably true. When somebody's just chasing health food, you know, good health, happiness, success, it can even be a proper thing, a self-esteem. If they're focused on that one thing, we'll say they're a fanatic. The world will say that. Well, guys, I would submit to you this morning that as believers, if we're truly seeking the Word of God, if we're truly making that our focus, guess what? If our lives are fully consecrated for Christ, the world should be calling us fanatics. And if they call us fanatics, so be it. Paul summed it up well in Philippians 1:21. He said, "For to me is to live as Christ." He wanted the whole world to know. He didn't care if people called him a fanatic. He didn't care if people threw rocks at him. He didn't care if people threw him in jail and chained him for claiming to be a Christian. He said, as for me, to live is to live as Christ. We today get our feelings hurt if somebody calls us a name and we bury our Bible in the bottom of our toolbox so nobody else will call us something. Hosea says it's time to seek the Lord. And just as Jenna just saying, and shine on. Shine out there and let the word of God shine forth. Think about it for just a minute. How would you feel if God gave you the same amount and time of a time and attention as you give him? Think about that just a minute. How would you feel if you get if you put as many things before God, if God put as many things before us as we put before God? Or even better, how would we feel if we offered as many excuses? I mean, if God offered us as many excuses as we offer to him, and none of them are justifiable. I'm kind of meddling now, aren't I, Barry? Absolutely. How would you feel if God's promises were no more certain than ours are to him? God, you get me through this. I won't do it again next week. How would we feel if God withheld his blessings from us like we withhold our offerings from him? You see, guys, we need to be committed. It has come time for us to seek the Lord. It has come time for us to search. Do I have that divided heart? And if I do, how can I rectify that? Folks, the thing that we need to do, the thing that we need to learn this morning is we need to obey God. Israel says to, Hosea tells Israel, and he's telling you and I today, he says, break up that fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground that is hard. It hasn't been plowed in a long time, and it's become hard, and it is stubborn, and the seed won't take in that fallow ground. It does little good to sow seed on fallow ground. It's just not going to get in the dirt, and if it's just laying on top of the dirt, it's not going to do anything. So Hosea says, you've got to break up that fallow ground of your heart. It's hard, it's compacted, and the word is just not going to seep in there. So it has to be broken up. It has to be messed up and moved all around so the seed can get in there. The seed's not going to take effect unless you open up that heart and you let God move in. Folks, I would share with you that the way to open that fallow ground, the way to plow that ground, is absolute obedience. Obedience is the prerequisite to possessing the promises that God has promised us. It means doing what God tells us to do when he tells us to do it. I have made many mistakes in that area. Lord knows I've made many mistakes. And I still pay for some of those. I think I have sown the seed of confusion sometimes in my children because they don't see me acting when God says to act, because I'm not as consistent as I should be, because I've chosen not to fully stand upon him at times in my life. And guys, I would share with you this morning, those lessons have been learned, but praise God, I am to who I am today and try to the best of my ability to say, thank you, Lord, what would you have me to do next? Do I fail? Yes. But will I continue to try to seek the Lord? Yes. And every one of us, not just the pastor, needs to make that same decision. That's what breaks up old, hard, and fallow ground. It's truly asking the Lord, what would you have me to do? And then do it. God expects, excuse me. God wants and he expects us to follow in his will, to follow his word, to be absolutely obedient in all that he says and does. Many Christians, many of those who claim Christ, claim him as their Lord and Savior. They'll extol the virtues of knowing Christ. They'll go to church and they worship Christ, but then fail to obey him. Fail in obedience to do what the one they sing about tells them to do. I know I have taught it many times, so has David, I know, and you've read it as well. But James tells us in chapter 4, verse 17, he says, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. If we know that God has told us to do something and we don't do it, that's sin, brother. God says to do away with this or get rid of that or walk over here and do this and do that, and we choose not to do it, that is sin. In Luke 6, 46 through 49, you probably know the parable about the man who builds his house on the sand and the man who builds his house on the rock. But the way that parable starts in verse 46, Jesus looks out to him and says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet do not the things that I ask you to do? Folks, that parable, that phrase, that verse, if you will, is spoken to us too. Why do you call me Lord, Lord on Sunday morning, but then on Monday you go back with the same kind of persona, the same kind of ugliness, the same kind of everything, where those people that she just sang about that need to hear me, those people who need to know that they're not alone, those people who need to know that the Spirit of God is real and not just something you sing about on Sunday. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and I send you out to these people and you act like the world? Folks, that is a divided heart, and then Hosea is telling us it is time that we seek the Lord and get back to doing what He calls us to do. Amen. When we continually focus on what we want rather than what He wants, we're broken. It pains me to say this, but I feel it to be true. Churches today are filled, I mean filled, with disobedient Christians who are smugly trusting in their eternal salvation rather than letting the Word of God shine. Oh, I'm once saved, always saved. I can go ahead and be whatever I want to be. Now, guys, don't get me wrong. We should be glad that we're saved, but we should try to do everything that we possibly can to make it evident in our lives Monday through Saturday as well. Amen. People should look at us and say, man, how you just smashed your thumb and you said, thank you, Jesus. How'd you do that? Because I know that God has a bigger plan. If I was dumb enough to smash my thumb, okay. I don't know. But I know that my God's in control. I know my God's there. And because I love Him, because I chose not to make Him just a priority on Sundays, I chose to let Him permeate every bit of my life, whether I'm high on the mountain on a boat in Alaska, or if I'm working on an old truck and smash my thumb, my God still reigns. That's what people need to see. That's what people need to hear. That's why people don't need us to go out and act like Christians. They need us to go out and be Christians, which means go out and let the Word of God shine on through us every day. We need to be obedient Christians. That's what becomes a blessing. Disobedient Christians, guys, they hurt. They're not just a danger to themselves. They're a danger to all those who see them also. We don't need any more disobedient Christians. I feel as though, and what this, like I said, this was not even remotely the intention of Beth Moore's sermon that day, but what God spoke to me that night was that we need to be obedient when He says to, because the time has come to stand your ground for me. And that's every one of us. Now, how do you do that? Folks, the very fastest way that you can start becoming that disciple for Christ is whatever crosses your mind right now, the first thing you think of that you know you're not obeying God in, make the decision right now, I'm going to start obeying Him in this. We have to start somewhere. Why not start with the first thing that crosses your mind right now? Maybe God's saying you need to call so-and-so. You need to speak to so-and-so. You need to quit doing this. You need to start doing that. Whatever it is, if you would commit right now, what that first thought was, that may be your first step in tilling that fallow ground. And then I would even go so far as whatever the next thing is that brushes your unconsciousness, grab it too. And little by little, you'll break that fallow ground up. And the more you break up that fallow ground, the more you can seek the Lord, the more the seed will fall in. And the more you break the ground with obedience, the more the seed's going to fall in. And the more the seed falls in, the better the tree is going to grow, the more fruit that's going to be shown. And before you know it, the whole world's going to see it shining out of you as you are standing your ground and saying, thank you, Jesus. Hosea says it's time to obey God. It's time to seek out Christ. He tells us in obeying God, He says, sow for yourselves righteousness. Now, what does that mean? In John chapter 9, verse 4, it says that I must go about the works of Him who sent me while it is still day, for there is coming a time in the night when I will no longer be able to work. Ouch. What does that mean? I have a time frame to do what God's called me to do. And because I have that time frame, the more I argue with Him, the more I disobey Him, the more I choose not to do it, the further, or either the more compact the time gets for me to do it in, or there's going to be those that I miss and don't do it at all. You know, have you ever noticed the only time we like or talk nicely about getting old is when we're little? I mean, if you go up to a 10-year-old and you say, how old are you? You know, they start thinking in fractions. Well, I'm 3 and a half. Well, yeah, that's great. You're 3 and a half. You know, I never heard anybody say, well, I'm 36 and a half. You don't hear that. No, that child, you know, I'm 4 and a half. I got it going on. And teenagers, you can't hold them to fractions. They jump a whole year. I'm going on 16. But you're only 13. I'm still getting there. I'm going on 16 or 21. You know, that 21, oh, the greatest day in your life happens. You become 21. It almost sounds like a ceremony. I became 21. But what happens when you hit 30? You know, you turn 30. It's like, you know, when something turns like milk, you throw it away. But is that not what we say? We turn 30? And Lord help us, we're pushing 40. We don't even want to get close to that one. Yeah, Ian's there. Sorry, bro. Can't push it anymore. And then when we get 50, you know, it's like I reach 50. All my dreams are gone. You know, everything's done. And we hit 60, we hit 70, so on and so forth. We don't talk nicely about time as it progresses in our age. Till you're about 100, then it goes back to fractions. I'm 100 and a half. What I'm trying to point out here, guys, is time passes so quickly, and opportunities pass along with that time. And when Jesus says the time has come, if we choose not to exercise the efforts that he has given us, if we choose not to obey him, if we choose not to step out and be and do and say whatever it is he's called us to excuse me, do, be, or say at that moment, we've missed the time. You never hear, I've heard it say, you never hear anybody say, gee, I wish I'd watched more TV, but put that on my tombstone.
That's two.
Thank you, son. Sir. What? Not my son, I promise. What'd he say? All right. Talking about that pushing 90. No, I'm just kidding. Guys, Colossians 4:5 tells us to walk in wisdom for those who are outside, redeeming the time. Go back and read that sometime. Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom for those who are on the outside. That's your song, baby. Sorry, Jenna. That's what she sang to us just now. There are those who are needing to hear the word of God through us. He says, walk in wisdom, redeeming the time for those who are looking at us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, he tells us as we're sitting there, he says, it is acceptable that you have heard me, and in this day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the time of your salvation. Now is the time of your salvation. Folks, when we walk with wisdom, redeeming the time that God has allotted us and given us, there are those who he is then also speaking, today is the time for your salvation because you have heard Christ through him. You've heard of me through that person or that person. Folks, when we redeem that time, the time has come for us to seek the Lord. The time has come for us to obey the Lord. And the time has come for us to quit shunning and quit putting off what he tells us to do. And in obedience, take on the urgency of sharing the gospel, whether it be in word or whether it be in deed. I think the greatest hindrance to witnessing today is this lack of urgency. We feel like we've got all the time in the world. Or we forget what it means for those who are not going to accept him and where they're going to end up. We forget that time is, today is in our hands. But shirking the duties of today either is going to pile it on tomorrow, which may not come, or just losing it altogether because yesterday is gone. The time has come. And we should have a sense of urgency. Thank God for a sense of urgency that can change a dull, shabby existence into a sparkling life. I can live my life knowing. Now, not always. I wish I could tell you I've always been this way. But I've caused a lot of confusion in my kids and other people's lives, I think, because I didn't always live this way, but now I can say that I have chosen to live my life with an urgency of an understanding that I'm not putting Christ first. That's where I think I messed up. It's not about putting Christ first. It's about putting Christ in everything. Amen. I choose to be totally absorbed in Christ. And how do I do that? By breaking up that fallow ground with the obedience to God And then in that obedience, letting the seed grow so that I understand the urgency of living out my faith so that I can let the Word of God shine through me everywhere I go. We'll have eternity, guys. We have eternity to celebrate all our victories, but we only got that one short hour before sunset to win those victories. The time has come for us to step back and put away all the childish things, like Paul said, and to step up and seek the Lord. The time has come for us to go to work for Christ. It's not about my works. We talked about this in Sunday school as well. My works do not save me. It is my faith in Christ that saves me. But you'll know my faith in Christ by my works, because I choose to permeate my life with Him and obey Him in all things. Where are you this morning? You cannot work for the Lord if you do not know Him. Well, that's not true, Pastor. I work VBS. I've been fooling you guys. Yeah, you can come work around the church, but you're not working for Him. You're doing that for your own self-gratification. The only way to truly work for Him is to put your heart and your faith in Him. You can't obey Him if you don't know what He's telling you. It's not about what the preacher says. I wish I could tell you that every pastor that steps up behind the microphone is 100% right all the time. I wish I could tell you that I'm 100% right all the time. I can't do that. I try to the best of my ability, but there is only one who is right 100% of the time. And if you don't know Him, you're missing what He has to say. Because His name is Jesus Christ. But you can put your faith in Him this morning. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He said, I came so that whomsoever believes that I am the Son of God and that I rose again on that third day. He who believes that in their heart and professes that with their mouth before men, so shall I profess them before the Father, for they shall be mine. And they shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, guys, whomever you are, I don't care how old you are, from little to 100 and more if there's someone there, when you truly surrender your heart to Christ, He will move in and He will take hold of your life. Now, if you're here this morning, you realize, you've asked yourself, do I have a divided heart? Is there fruitlessness in my life? Is there... Do I have a problem with consistency from Sunday to Sunday? Do I have a problem going out and truly assessing whether I am obeying God or not? Is my heart divided? Folks, I would tell you this morning that if you will focus back on Him, it might mean cutting out some of the old music you were listening to, or it may mean stop going over here for a while till you get your mind straight again. I don't know. But are you willing to put yourself in a position where that heart can be melded back together, permeated with Christ, so that you can be consistent from Monday to Sunday, proclaiming His gospel so that you can shine with an urgency that others know who Christ is in your life? If you want to be that person, my God is in a heart healing business. But you got to choose to follow. This altar will be open. I'd love to pray with you. David will pray with you. Pat would pray with you. My son back there. Whomever it is. In all seriousness. It's God's son. He is God's son. I'm sure of that. Not Jesus, adopted son. But all seriousness this morning. If God is working in your heart, if God's moving you, you got that thing fleeting on the edge of your consciousness saying you need to deal with me, that you need to obey God in this situation, you have to make that choice right now. We're fellowshipping together. We're smiling. We're loving one another. But guys, I'm not saying it's easy. Whatever God's bringing to the forefront of your mind may be an incredibly difficult step. It may mean a change of lifestyle. It may mean putting your faith somewhere you haven't put it before. You've been saying the right things, doing the right things, but you've never truly accepted Christ. Or maybe you accepted him and you turned and you've been running. Lord knows there was years in my life no one would have known I was a Christian. I knew by the conviction and the beating down that I felt inside when I was doing something wrong. But I hid it well from others. If that's you this morning, my God wants to step in. My God wants to step in. And Hosea said it comes time that if you will seek his righteousness, if you will seek the Lord, allow him to break up and till that fallow ground, rather than raining judgment down upon you, he'll rain blessings upon you in your life. Amen. What more would you want for your spouse and your children, your grandchildren, than know that the righteousness of God is raining down upon your family? It's your choice this morning. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. And if God's speaking to you, you can pray right where you're at. God's given us that gift. We don't have to go to a man to have my prayers go to God. Jesus said he is our intermediary. He is our lawyer. He is the one who takes up those prayers. I can go right to God the Father, and you can do the same this morning. But if you want me to pray with you, you want David to pray with you, you want someone to pray with you, that's great also. But whatever it is God's telling you to do, will you obey him today? Will you listen? And let's leave out of here, not with a divided heart. Let's not have that line that Jeroboam drawn in the country of Israel. Let's not set up temples within our heart and stick our own little bronze statues in there, whatever they may be. Let's take away the line and give the whole heart back to Christ. Who are you this morning? As we all stand. Father God, I come before you again this morning just to praise you for who you are and what you are. Father, I pray your word will go forth this morning and touch the lives of your people. May your word go forth and may they hear that it's not me who's preaching this. It's not me who's putting forth this scripture, but it's you, that you spoke through Hosea and that you speak now to the hearts of your people. If anything of me was said today, Lord, I pray it's stricken from the hearts and the minds of the people so that all they hear is you. May they hear the words of the song that Jenna sang, Lord, as they put their heart fully in your hands and are shining out to the world around them. God, may your will be done as we go in this time of invitation. If there's any here that do not know you, or if there's someone here that needs to surrender and obey, may they make that decision before it's too late, Father. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. The guys are going to lead us in song here momentarily, and when they do so, I pray that you will pray. Maybe God's telling you to pray for your brothers and sisters out there right now, but this altar is open. Come to this altar, pray where you're at, go across an aisle, hug and love somebody, but let them know that your heart's not divided anymore. You choose to permeate it with Christ. As we sing, Chris. Amen.
Jesus is my God.
Before we close this morning, though, I want to just speak one more time, and it's for this reason. Sometimes I think we get caught up in the invitational song that we forget what the invitation is about. I want to share with you real quickly that whatever God's placed upon your heart, just because the music is over and you walk outside doesn't mean that He took it away. He is inviting you to join Him in ministry, whether by giving Him your heart, your life, your soul, your spirit today, or whether it is by acting and following in obedience, something He's called you to do. We are blessed to be a part of His ministry. Sometimes it's hard. But thank you, Jesus, that you've allowed me to be persecuted in your namesake. Thank you, Jesus, you've allowed me to be your hands and feet. Thank you, Jesus, that I can go forth and proclaim you, the creator of all things, as my Lord. If you're here this morning and God is speaking to you and you have yet to do or follow through with whatever it is God's telling you to do, just because the music stops doesn't mean that you have to. And if you need prayer, you need, I don't know how I'm going to do this, Pastor, get with me. I'd love to pray with you. David will pray with you. Somebody, maybe you need an accountability partner. You know, Pastor, I've been dealing with pornography. I've been dealing with a gossiping mouth. I've been dealing with rumor mongering. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, the great thing is right now, you can choose. Father, I want to stop. Send me to Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, send me to that accountability partner that'll help me make this so. And may we shine on together. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you can grab a seat for just a moment, I got one more thing I'd like to announce this morning. Oh, yes. Can you say something? Yeah, sure.
Ashley and Miles have came back up here today, and they've rededicated themselves. Errors and things that happened in their life, they fell away from God. So we have a couple of people here that are looking and wanting prayer, and they're changing their lives, and they're looking for God to take care of them. So I ask you all to pray for them.
Obeyed and did it, but Tim and Sherry are coming this morning, and they say after this time they've been here and worshiped with us, they feel as though God's called them to come and join and be a member of the church and be part of the
church. Opposed to Tim coming. No, I'm just put you back on the spot one more time. Amen. So keep, pardon? Yeah, amen. Keep these, whenever you see their face, when it crosses your mind, lift them up in prayer. I think that when God puts someone's face across us, whether it be Miles and his wife or Tim and his wife, whomever it is, we need to stop and pray right then. And let's pray for one another that we'll do and be and say what God's called us to. Amen? You guys, thank you. Praise God. It's good seeing everybody this morning. It's been a great day to be in God's house. We're going to be here all day doing Vacation Bible School stuff, at least the ladies are. I'll just do what I'm told. If you want to stay and be a part of that as well, let's all stand together. We're going to close in a word of prayer. Ian, it is good having you back, brother. Do you mind closing us in prayer this morning?
Make us instruments in your peace.
walk in your spirit, let Jesus in you, and bless